This is Project Independence in You, and we've been talking with Hal Bock. Hal is a sports writer and columnist with the Associated Press. My name is Rebecca Miller, and I'm here with Otto Loos, who is co-hosting today. Before we took the break, we talked a little bit about the fact that you've written 13 books and that you are now completing your 14th book, which is due to come out opening day?
Opening day 2016.
Now, how do you get that date? How does
that
work?
That's the publisher's business, not mine.
Okay, well, that worked out well. What was the first book you wrote?
Wow. The first book I wrote, my first job out of college was working for the New York Rangers Hockey Club. And I was a kid. I was 21 years old, 22 years old. And the Rangers had a young player named Rod Gilbert.
I know him.
Terrific guy. I mean, he's just a wonderful guy. And Rod and I struck up a friendship, and we wrote a book, My Goal on Ice by Rod Gilbert. So that was that book. Also, I did a book on with Andy Bathgate, who was a great star of the Rangers in those days. So those are my first couple of books. I did a book with Bill Chadwick, the late Bill Chadwick, a great hockey referee. Okay. I covered hockey for the first 10 years of my career. So I got involved with a lot of Rangers and a lot of hockey subjects.
You were at the Old Garden then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loved the Old
Garden. I used to go to the Old Garden on a Sunday with the GO card, and we would see three games, including the Ranger game.
The Rovers?
The Rovers, the Metropolitan Mets.
Okay.
And one of the Rovers eventually became the Ducks on Long Island.
That's right.
Who eventually became the Islanders.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah.
But we would go there all day for like 50 cents.
50 cents, sure.
And then Needix was right there, and you get a hot dog and orange drink.
That's right.
So you're talking about Madison Square Garden and not the Botanical Garden.
No, we're talking about Madison Square
right,
Garden.
Right, okay, just to clarify.
49th and 8th Avenue.
49th and 8th Avenue.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is now a parking lot. There's nothing there.
49th and 8th, okay, right.
That was pre the one that exists now.
So the book that's due to come out opening day 2016, this book is The Last Chicago Cubs Dynasty.
Correct, yes. In the first decade of the 20th century, from 1900 to 1910, the Cubs became a very good baseball team. And starting in 1906, they won 4 pennants and 2 World Series in a span of 5 years, which is unheard of for anybody. As Otto said, he follows the Cubs. He knows that the Cubs don't win pennants or World Series. They haven't been in a World Series in 70 years. So that was a unique period. And so I wrote a book. I've written a book about that period and after that period.
Okay, well, that's called The Last Chicago Cubs Dynasty.
Correct.
Very interesting. So you're a sports writer, a columnist, you've written books, you've been in the media for over 40 years. Social media. How do you feel about social media and the way that it impacts the instant information highway?
I'm not a big fan of social media. I understand its place and I understand its value, but I'm old-fashioned and for example, I don't own an iPhone. I have a cell phone because it's necessary.
Right.
But I don't walk around instant messaging people or any of that stuff. I mean, I feel badly because the technological revolution has had a tremendous impact on journalism, which is my profession.
Right.
And newspapers are passé, almost.
Well, we were talking offline, and I remember the Journal American, the Herald Tribune, the World Telegram,
sure.
Sun, the Daily Mirror, the Times still exists, and the News still exists, and the Post. But there used to be like 8 or so newspapers.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you went to work in the morning, everybody had a newspaper folded up in all kinds of ways.
I was a freshman at New York University, and one thing led to another, and I found myself working part-time at the New York World Telegram and Sun. And it was as if I had landed in a pot of jam. I mean, I was so happy in that environment, watching a newspaper be put out every day, you know. I had a small part in the sports department, very small part. But just it was a magical time for a kid who wanted to go into journalism.
One of the things you I read about that you spent quite a bit of time on is Willard Mullen, the cartoonist. You know, cartoons used to be also a an art form, if you will, or a news method in sports as well. And I know he's the one who did the actual drawing of the Brooklyn Bum.
Absolutely.
Which was because they lost so often.
Mullen worked at a desk about two desks away from where I worked. Now, I was 18 years old, and my policy was keep your mouth shut and your eyes and ears open. And he was just a jolly guy, you know, and he did a lot of his work at home, but he would come into the office now and then. And I was fascinated by his art, and that was one of the first things I would look for in the newspaper each day. And I thought that his art was a lost form, a lost art form that people didn't know about, and I wanted to bring it back, so I got some people together who had access to his cartoons, the estate, and we did a book. We did one of my books was the, in fact, the most recent book before this Dynasty book, was the Golden Age of Willard Mullen's Baseball Drawings.
Oh.
And we collected, God, there must be 200 of them in this book. And I wrote the narrative to accompany the cartoons. And it's that one of my proudest projects.
Yeah, I read also in preparing, you know, to talk with you about he actually illustrated Casey at the Bat, which is something that's pretty well known everywhere.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So I mean, he was a giant of the form of the he was the best sports cartoonist of the 20th century.
Yeah, and I did all this with just paper and
amazing.
Pen.
Amazing.
Yeah, they didn't have the tools they would have now.
And he had a whimsical sense about him that lent itself to cartooning. And you mentioned the Dodger Bum, the Brooklyn Dodger Bum. I mean, he came up with this thing, and it became almost a logo for the Dodgers, you know.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You know what? I'm thinking Otto and Christina and Hal. We have a newsletter called The Pioneer, and what we do is we just kind of cover all kinds of programs and services and interesting tidbits about the town of North Hempstead and the senior programs and services that we have. And we actually have a newsletter committee. Maybe you'll be interested in sitting in and giving us some hints on maybe some articles. Maybe we'll give you a column.
I'd be happy to do it.
And we'll pay you double what we give Otto.
Yeah, good.
Which is nothing. Double nothing.
That double would be nothing, great. Right?
But there's no taxes.
That's good. That's a plus.
All right. So I know how you feel about the iPhone, but as I'm sitting here, I'm getting texts from my brother. And one of the things he wanted me to ask you about is, I guess, kind of there is a dangerous element to sports. And there has been a lot of coverage today regarding concussions and you know, kids that are playing and the proper gear and helmets and are there sports that are too dangerous?
You know, I was talking to a friend the other night over dinner, and he asked me if I like football. I mean, I love baseball, as Otto knows. We had a nice conversation, and he asked me if I like football, and I said, you know, I love football when I was a kid. And I loved covering football. But football has gotten to a point, I guess it's part of the fact that the players are bigger and stronger and more mobile than they ever were before, faster. But it's become a dangerous sport. And you hear of so many concussions and so many brain injuries. And that's not what sports is supposed to be.
Right.
See, I have an opinion there, too. And I think that the helmet has become like a lethal weapon.
Yes.
It used to be a soft leather helmet.
Correct.
And people didn't just go flying into you like they had a bullet on their head. because that, I think, does more damage than anything, really. You know, it's just like having a bullet on your head, basically.
And they use it. They use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So on the lighter side, here's another text from a friend who wanted me to ask you, as a Long Islander or New Yorker, Yankees, Giants, Rangers, or Mets, Jets, Islanders? That's the question.
Mets?
Okay, so I guess the theory is you know, if you're a Long Islander and you're a Yankees fan, you generally are Yankees, Giants, Rangers, I guess. Not everyone. And then if you're a Mets fan, it's Mets, Jets, Islanders?
For me.
Okay.
It's and you're not supposed
to. You're going to you can crisscross if you.
They say no cheering in the press box. That's a famous saying.
Right. Right.
And I try to abide by that. But now that I'm retired.
We appreciate that. But go ahead.
Now that I'm retired.
Let us know.
The Mets have a place in my heart because they're the New York National League team, which the Giants were. No offense to the Dodgers,
no,
but
well,
in my mind.
I'm a Met fan because of the same thing, the Brooklyn Dodgers were a National
League
team.
New York National League team is the Mets, so I like the Mets. I grew up as a football Giants fan. I do not like the Jets. I grew up as a Knicks fan, so I do not like the Nets. I grew up as a Rangers fan, so I do not like the Islanders. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a mixture.
Okay.
Giants, Rangers, Knicks, Mets.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, I find that when, like, if the Mets don't go anywhere, I will actually root for the Yankees because I still will root for a New York team.
Right.
Before I would root for a team that comes from Kansas City or wherever. No offense, Kansas City.
my feelings run too deeply.
Yeah. Okay.
I could not bring myself to root for the Yankees.
You
I'm
had
sorry.
To suppress this for the whole 40 years you were writing.
Hal, Otto.
I did.
We are actually going to have to wrap this up. I suggest that you exchange phone numbers. I think that you two could go on for quite a while. Hal, it has been a pleasure to have you on the program, and maybe we can have you back and ask you some more questions, and maybe after your book comes out. And
we'll Happy to do it.
We'll let you know about our newsletter committee.
Okay, sure.
Okay?
Sure.
So, Hal, it has been a pleasure. Otto, great. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with Dr. Maria Carney. She is the chief at North Shore LAJ Division of Geriatric and Palliative Medicine and also assistant professor at Hofstra North Shore School of Medicine.